We'll start in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Okay, today we want to talk about an important subject, but before we do, we wanted to watch a... can everyone see the TV where they're sitting? Okay, watch a little video clip that'll kind of set us up here. So, Sherry, you can hit that. Very good. And we can hit play. There's no sound.
This is the paradox of our time.
We have taller buildings, but shorter tempers, wider freeways.
But narrower viewpoints. We spend more.
But have less. We buy more.
But enjoy it less.
We have bigger houses.
But smaller families. More conveniences.
But less time. But less time.
Less time. More channels. But nothing worth watching.
We've earned more degrees.
But lost our common sense.
We have more knowledge.
But less discernment.
There are more experts, but more problems.
More problems.
More health magazines.
But less wellness. This is a time when we choose any religion that fits our personality.
But deny the God who gave us one. We have multiplied our possessions.
But reduced our values.
We talk too much. Love self-help and hate too often.
We've learned how to make a living.
But not a life.
We've conquered outer space.
But not inner space.
This is the paradox.
We've cleaned up the air,
but polluted our minds.
We split the atom,
but not our prejudice.
We build more computers, we hold more information, produce more copies to pass around to more people if we have less communication.
We've learned to rush,
but not to wait.
And under the magnificence,
of a starry night,
we applaud the design.
We applaud the design.
And ignore the designer.
Ignore the designer.
We're in the season of hurried vacations, preoccupied by quick trips and fast food. We have fancier houses,
but broken homes.
Deeper pockets and shallower relationships.
New foundations, but not home.
This is indeed a time when we place more value on success than on significance.
This is
our time.
All right, lights on. Very good. And whoever's back there by that next by that next light switch can click the lights on for us. That's all there is. It's not going to hold feature film movie, but just something to introduce the topic. The part about that video, that's obviously if you were paying attention, you saw it talked about different paradoxes. Okay, things that we have and things that we're lacking. The part that really struck me was really at the end there when it says that we have more success but less significance in life. And the subject that I wanted us to kind of focus on for just today is how to increase the quality of my life. Okay, and obviously as you saw up there is that the quality is not necessarily measured by the amount of success or by the number of gadgets and technology and gadgets that I have. But what we want to talk is how to have a more significant life. Not how to do more things in life, but how to get more out of the things which I'm doing. Does that make sense? Okay? Because too often in life when we're lacking significance or lacking, you know, happiness or anything like that, we try to do more. But that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about now how to get more out of the things that it is that we do. Okay? So how to improve the quality of life, not the quantity, not to put more things in. And if I had to come up with one thing that will determine the quality of your life and my life more than anything else in this world, how many people say money? I didn't money. How many people say your career? You didn't your career. I would say, if there's one thing that determines what the quality of your life more than anything else, I would say relationships. Okay, because let me put it out to you. You can have a good job, you can have a good career, you can have a nice car, nice house, nice this and that. But if you're miserable at home with your wife and with your kids and you hate your kids and they hate you or you hate your wife and she hates you and you don't have any friends, well, that's not a really good high quality of lifestyle. And by the same token, I see people all the time who don't have the materialistic things, who don't have the nice job and the nice career and the nice that. But they have love at home, they have a good group of friends, and they have a strong set of relationships around them, and they're satisfied with their life. So what I say is, is that life is not about your accomplishments as much as it's about your relationships in life. And specifically, two kinds, okay? Your relationship with God, and then your relationship with others, all right? And both of those will determine, like I said, your quality of life. And what we're going to focus on today is the others aspect of it, okay? We're going to leave aside the relationship with God, not ignoring it, but just that's not our topic for today. But like I said, in order to have a successful and quality lifestyle, you must focus on fixing your relationship with God first and foremost, and then secondly, with others around you. And that's what I want to talk about today. What we want to talk about today is how to have quality of life through relationships with other people and get rid of the bubble. Okay? We live lots of times in a bubble of life. We like our own set of stuff. We like our own independence. We like our own way of doing things. And sometimes that leads to negative situation. If I asked you who's the most independent people in the world, which country is most independent? It's the United States of America. If I asked you which country has the highest suicide rate, what would you say? If I asked you which country has the highest depression rate, what would you say? The answer is the exact same. It's the United States of America, and I can get you the numbers to prove it to you. Even though we live in the most independent time, and the most independent era of the world, the freedoms that we have and the independence that we have, we also live in the loneliest time period that the world has ever seen, what we have here today. So, what we want to do today is figure out how we can fix that. Like I said, focusing on the quality of my life, not the quantity of things in my life. And what I'm going to talk about today may be the exact opposite of everything the world teaches. In fact, it probably will be. Okay, the exact opposite of what you'll see on the TV or you'll hear, you know, people telling you or things like that. We're usually taught that happiness comes from independence. Isn't that what this country's founded on? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? And that's good. I'm not saying that's bad, but we can't correlate specifically that the more independence I have, the more happiness I have, all right? We are taught that the only way to be happy is to be independent as much as you can. But I'm telling you that happiness doesn't come by independence, but it comes instead by interdependence, okay? And that's why today we're making our declaration of interdependence, okay? We're very patriotic today. We're making our declaration of interdependence. What does interdependence mean? Interdependence means we depend on each other, and we depend on our fellowship, and we depend on a community of the faithful right here. It's getting rid of the isolation in life and the kind of distance that we hold up sometimes. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 5. St. Paul teaches us that we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Okay? We, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since it says that we're members of one another, that's another nice way of saying we need each other. Okay? We're all part of each other, and we need each other. Just like my ear needs my nose, needs my eyes, needs my feet, needs my hands, needs my whatever. All right? So, the question that we want to get to today is the why. And which is what I'll put before you right now. Do I really need other people in my life? Okay? Obviously, we're not saying living on an island or anything like that, but what I'm talking about is, do the other people around me really affect the quality of my life? Okay? And we'll kind of look back to the video which you watched at the beginning and kind of keep that in mind as we go through the rest of our discussion here today. But what we want to see is why we need others. Okay? And I believe that there's three reasons in life, okay, that you need other people. Not a luxury, not it's nice, but that you need other people in your life. And when I talk about other people, I'm specifically going to talk about the church family. Okay? I'm talking about why you need a church family and a support group here in the church family. The first and foremost reason why you need others is because I need others to walk with me. Okay? I need other people to walk with me. Meaning I need other people to help me grow. I need other people to help me reach my destination spiritually as well as in life. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." Oftentimes when the Bible talks about our life on this earth and our life here, it talks about a spiritual walk. All right, and it often talks about walk in the Lord, walk in the light, walk in wisdom, walk circumspectly. It always talks about walking. And the reason is because Christianity is something that you should be walking in. Right? If you have the notion of Christianity, which is it's a sit-down thing, I become Christian, then I just sit down and enjoy life, you got the wrong idea. Christianity isn't a sit-down thing. Christianity is not something that happens to you in front of the TV, or you come to church and listen to sermons and you just become a better Christian. That's not how it works. Christianity is a get-up-and-walk thing. And the point is if you had to walk down the street, and there's lots of, it's dark and it's scary, this and that, wouldn't you rather have someone walking with you? Okay? When I'm talking about having someone to walk with you, just right off the bat, let me clear something up here. I'm not talking about marriage. Right? Sometimes maybe that's what you're thinking I'm talking about. That you need someone to walk with you in life, a married partner. That's not what I'm talking about. Marriage is part of this, but it can be independent of marriage. And what I mean by that is I know people who are married and been married for years, but are really walking alone in life and really walking an isolated life. By the same token, I know people who are single and walking in community, walking in fellowship. So marriage is not the thing that I'm talking about right now, saying everyone has to get married and get married right now. What I'm saying is that marriage is not the answer. The answer is fellowship. Okay? The answer to this walking issue is fellowship. Now you may be sitting there and thinking to yourself, well, what's wrong with walking alone? I said before that it could be dangerous. What if I'm not scared? What's wrong with walking? When I walk alone, I get whatever I want. When I'm by myself, I watch whatever I want. I eat whatever I want. I make a mess on myself, whatever I want. No one tells me what to do. I go where I want, when I want, how I want. What do I need other people for? Why do I need other people to walk with me? What's so bad about walking alone? Well, I'll tell you what's so bad about walking alone. The problem when you walk alone is that you learn very bad habits. Okay? And I'll tell you where I see this very clearly with the guy who has, you know, been single and living on his own for so many years, and all of a sudden he gets married. He learned lots of habits while he was living on his own that don't fly in marriage, okay? That don't work when it comes to getting married. You know, certain habits of independence, a certain habit of just getting up, doing what you want, making plans with the boys, whatever it is that you want, that doesn't fly 100% in marriage, okay? And those certain habits can be detrimental. Same thing spiritually, all right? Some of us are not around people enough to be able to learn the things that we need to learn in Christianity. For example, whenever I get upset at someone, whatever. I don't need him. I don't know how to apologize. Because anytime I get upset at someone, I just find a new friend. Or I don't get too close to people. I don't know how to say I'm sorry. I don't know how to love someone else. I don't know how to lay down my life for someone else or esteem someone else better than others. So this is a big problem, all right? And that's why God designed for us never to walk through life alone. Right? But to always walk in fellowship and in community. The reason that it's so important that God stresses on it, because you can always go further when you have a partner with you. Think about it. How many people on New Year's Eve made the same resolution that they made for every year for the past 50 years of their life? To start working out, stop eating donuts, and start doing all this kind of stuff. And I got news for you. If you're doing it solo, it doesn't work out. Okay? It doesn't work. That's why everything that talks about everything about working out and getting healthy talks about have a workout partner. And it's so important if you really want to hit the gym, you have someone to go with you because it's a support network. Okay? It's always easier to do with someone else. Look at on your handout there. There's a proverb, an ancient proverb, which says, when you run alone, you run fast. But when you run together, you run far. Life is not a 50-yard dash. Life is a marathon. And that's why, if you're going to run through life, right, your best bet is to have a good support network around you because you can always run further together. Look, even nature and animals teach us that. When you see geese flying, how do geese fly? Solos? Lone rangers? Okay, you have a solo geese flying to the left and one on the right. How do they fly? In the V, right? They fly in the V formation. Why? Because why do they do that? Just because they're lonely or they're sad? Or no, because instinct says we can go further and we can go longer when we fly in a formation. Won't get into the details, but the smart people, the thermodynamics people or whatever, can talk about the wind velocity and the aerodynamic and the this and that. We'll leave it to the smart people in the back over there. But the point is, okay, I'm talking about Steve and Pat. The point is that you can always go further when you have support with you. All right? Sometimes in life, when we walk alone, we're doing it to our own detriment. Think about it. If I'm walking alone, I could be walking the wrong direction. I could have made the wrong turn. That's why the Bible talks about, it's a verse, but it's not on your handout, that in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. I believe it comes from Ecclesiastes or Proverbs. In the multitude of counselors, there's safety is what the Bible says. And basically what it's saying is if you're flying solo, you may be able to go really fast, but you're in trouble of taking a wrong turn or something like that. That's why God wants us, like I said, to walk with others. Look at the next verse, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. From the very beginning, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. All right? This is God's assessment. God created a perfect world and a perfect plants and a perfect atmosphere and no ozone layer and no chemicals and weapons, no wars, no nothing. Everything was perfect. And God looked at it and said, something's missing. Even though everything was perfect, even though there was no sin, something's missing. What's missing is the fellowship. Adam needed someone. What that teaches me is that God hates loneliness. Okay? God hates loneliness. Loneliness is different than alone. God doesn't hate when you're alone, because lots of times Christ went and he was alone, but he was never lonely. Okay? And there's a big difference between the two. God hates loneliness. Christ was never lonely. He was always in community with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So because God hates loneliness, he created two things to kind of solve it. He created two families for you. He created your physical family and your spiritual family. Of the two, which is more important, your physical or your spiritual family? Spiritual? Absolutely spiritual. Why? Where's your physical family going to be in 1,000 years? Dead. Where are they going to be in 100 years? Shoot, they could be there in 50. They could be there tomorrow for all you know. Your physical family may not be around. Sorry, I don't mean to say anything bad, but your physical family could go down. There's car accidents, there's cancer, there's hurricanes, there's stuff. Your physical family is great. I'm telling you, God created it for you. But don't neglect your spiritual family, because that's what's going to last eternity. And woe to the person who doesn't have a spiritual family. What are you going to do when you get to heaven? Do you have anyone in heaven that you can hang out with? Do you have anyone in heaven that's going to look familiar to you? Or are you going to get up there and you're going to be in the corner by yourself because you don't know anyone? You didn't spend time getting to know anyone. I hope that you have friends in heaven. And I hope you invest in that spiritual family, because that's the one that's going to last forever. Look what Hebrews chapter 10 teaches us. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. St. Paul is saying is that some people started to neglect the assembling together, the church assembly, the spiritual family. He said, don't do that, okay, especially as the day is approaching, because you need that spiritual family. Okay? Now, question. When St. Paul talks about assembling together, when I talk about fellowship, all right, and I'm talking about improving the quality of life and getting to know and having a spiritual family. True or false? Upstairs, when we were just up there in the liturgy, and there was 10,000 people, and they were hanging off each other in the pews, and it's standing room only. That's fellowship? Absolutely not, okay? That's not a community. That's just a crowd, okay? That's a crowd of people, but that ain't community. There was no fellowship. I don't know half the people's names there, and most likely you don't know 75% of the people's names up in there. That's not fellowship, okay? Even this is not fellowship, okay? Real fellowship is smaller numbers, and it's less people, but more in-depth, okay? And that's why we have something called small groups. You've heard of small groups before, which we do here. It's exactly what a small group is. It's a small group of people, 5, 6, 7, 10, whatever it is that may be, and it's in-depth. It's not becoming best friends with everyone or being acquaintance with everyone. It's taking a few and going in-depth with them and letting them go in depth into my life. That's what fellowship is. To prove it to you, some of the loneliest time of your life can be when there's lots of people around you. Having people around you is not a solution to loneliness. I remember, never forget it, like it was yesterday, went to the mall with mom, and we were young kids, maybe like 9, 10, and all of a sudden, you know, we're playing, and we used to like, you know, the coats when they hang, We used to like playing there and hide, this and that. All of a sudden came out, looked around, a lot of people, but didn't see Mom. There was a ton of people around me, but did I feel lonely at that moment in time? Oh, you better believe I was very, very lonely, and I let everyone know about it with tears and with wailing and gnashing of teeth. Everyone knew when they made the announcement, you know, anyone who lost their kid and stuff like that. So being surrounded by people doesn't solve loneliness, okay? Depth solves loneliness. And to show you, I could name off the top of my head right now many people who have been attending this church for year after year after year after year and very, very, very lonely. Because just coming, sitting in your pew, eating your Orban, writing your little note in the Light and Life meeting, that's not going to solve your loneliness, okay? If you want to solve your loneliness, you got to learn how to go in depth with real fellowship. Okay? So write this down at the bottom there. Fellowship is God's answer to loneliness. Fellowship is God's answer to loneliness. Because like I said, God hates loneliness. All right? And loneliness, just so we're honest with ourselves, okay, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but every one of us, if we're really honest with ourselves, suffers from loneliness. All right? We just cover it in different ways. We cover it by, you know, whatever. Whatever. Okay? But believe me, it manifests itself. The workaholic, the guy who always is joking, doesn't have any serious conversations, the one who's always avoiding and making excuses, the whatever it is that may be. Okay? I didn't even bring up the whole Xbox issue and those who hide themselves, those who are Xbox fanatics, because I respect those people. But but sometimes that could be a way out of loneliness. And when I was a kid, definitely when we were lonely, we always had Super Mario Brothers, and that kept us busy. All right. So the bottom line is that every one of us suffers from loneliness. Sometimes we cover it in different ways, but we need to. There's no reason for it, and God provided the church. All right. As a place that we can have a small group, an intimate group of friends, who I can go in depth with and solve this issue of loneliness, okay? So that's the first thing. I need others to walk with me. The second thing I need is I need others because I need others to watch out for me. I need others to watch out for me. Life isn't easy. Okay? And I need people, and I'm talking about me now specifically, and I'm thankful that I have people to warn me. No, Boone Anthony, be careful from this and this situation. Thank you so much. I'm glad I have people to defend me when I'm not there. I'm glad I have people to show me where the pitfall is, okay, or where the pothole is, so I don't trip into that thing. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Again, this is, remember in the beginning, the paradox in the movie we watched? This is the exact counterculture of everything that we know. Philippians 2:4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. This is a radically different idea than we're used to. Usually it's all about me. And it's all about looking out for myself. And we're taught that if you don't look out for yourself, no one's going to look out for you. What this is saying is, you should be looking out for other people, and other people should be looking out for you. I remember, again, back when we were kids, we had in our neighborhood watch. I don't know if neighborhood watches still exist anymore. I guess it was something when we were kids. My neighborhood now definitely doesn't have it, but back in the day, we used to know our neighbors, we liked our neighbors, we spoke to our neighbors, and we had a neighborhood watch. And basically what that meant is, we were going out of town, we knocked on the people next door and said, we're going out of town for the next week, we trusted them enough, watch out for my house. You know, if there's a package, get it. And if there's a burglar, you know, call 911 or something like that. People used to look out for each other. I think the same thing is what God wants us for us here inside the church. Okay? That's a sign of fellowship, that we look out for each other. We watch each other's stuff. If I ask you this question, who's in your neighborhood watch? What would you say? Who's looking out for you? Is there anyone who is looking out for your spiritual stuff? Is there anyone who you can say, you know what, if I was in a situation and I needed someone and something was about to happen to me, this guy would definitely warn me if he saw the burglar coming. Who is it? Do you have someone looking out for you spiritually? If your answer to that question is, yes, it's Abuna. No, it's not Abuna. It's not Abuna, okay? Because basically that's the same as saying, yes, we have a neighborhood watch, it's the police. The police, they're definitely there to help you, and they're there for you, and Abuna's there for you. But Abuna, let's be honest, I can't be watching out for 700 people at the same time. He can do his best, but he can't. Okay, no matter how much of a Superman he is, he can't watch out for that many people. So if you're relying on the police department, who's 10 miles away, who, even though they're going to come as soon as you call them, if you're relying on them to be watching out for you 24/7, you're not in luck. Okay? Because that isn't going to happen. You need to have people that you see much more regularly and intimately and go much more in depth. Okay? Like I said, Abuna's there for you. Your father of confession is there. But he can't be the only one that you're relying on. You need, like I said, a neighborhood watch. Why? Because again, like I said, we all have blind spots in life. Right? We all have things that if we don't look out for them, they're going to trip us up. And another thing that you have to accept is that you have blind spots about yourself. Right? There's lots of things about yourself that everyone else around you can see, but you can't see it yourself. You know, just last week I was driving in my car and a very kind person came and told me, your light's out. You know, one of the headlights was out. I couldn't see it. And he came and told me, your headlight's out. I could have driven around for months and not seen it. I could have driven around for months and not until I got to the inspection. I waited 6 hours in line. Then I went there and they said, no, your headlight's out. Go fix it and then come back and wait in line again and do it all over again. But I thank God that I had someone there looking out for me. What about you and your spiritual life? You may have a taillight out. You may have a headlight out. You may have no brakes in your car whatsoever spiritually. Is there someone who's there to point that out to you? Okay? Who you feel close enough and they would tell you. There's lots of things in life that, like I said, we don't see about ourselves. How often do I walk out of the house and I got ranch dressing right here on my mustache or something like that? Thankfully, I have someone say, you got ranch dressing on your face. How often we see someone, good friend, we say, you know what, your zipper's down, okay? You can walk around all day with your zipper down, no one ever know it. Do you have someone like to tell you that your zipper's down? I hope you do, okay? Because in life, zippers go down, ranch comes on the face, taillights go out. I hope that you have someone who will tell you when that zipper is not where it's supposed to be. Okay? If not, you're in trouble. You're setting yourself up for a very embarrassing situation. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. That's the way it's supposed to be. I hope you have that in your life. Do you feel, like I said, that you have a family, a small group that can take care of you and you have caretakers? That's what we're supposed to be. And the reason why is because there's a big, bad, scary enemy who's trying to knock us all down and who's trying to take us out and send us on the wrong side of heaven and hell, and he's trying to send us there. So I'm thankful that I have a group of people who's helping me out and who's watching my back and helping me through to make sure I'm on the right side. I know for a fact that the devil has people on his side. He's got a small group of guys who are teaming up to nail you and to take you down. Do you have a small group of defense? Or are you running on your own? If you're running by yourself, you got a big bullseye in the back of your head. He's going to take you down. The reason this is so important, okay, and I can't stress on it enough, the value and the importance of everyone really being tied into a small group of friends, is the worst thing that I see so often. When you are down, or when you are depressed, or when you are lonely, or when you're sad, or when you're whatever the emotion may be, the common reaction that we do, which is so bad, is we isolate ourselves. Okay? I'm just going to take some time to spend by myself, get my life straight, and then I'll come back to church. Get my life straight and just leave me alone for a little bit. I need to isolate myself. And even if you don't do it physically, you may do it emotionally. You may do it just kind of like on your own, that, yeah, I'm hanging out, but I punched out a while ago from this group of friends right here, and I'm just kind of on my own. That's really bad, okay? And I see that happening, and I see the devil trying to do that to you. Believe me, that's the worst thing you can do. That is the absolute worst thing. When someone's going through a rough time, the worst thing they can do, if you tell me, I want to go to hell as fast as possible, Anthony, what should I do? No problem. Stay away from other people. Isolate yourself. Be your own little island and avoid everyone and avoid church and avoid youth meetings and avoid all these different things. Just be on your own. You get things figured out on your own. That's the worst thing that you can do. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 10. Two are better than one, for if they fall... Ecclesiastes 4, 12. The one may be overpowered by another. Two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I'm telling you, if you don't have a support network around you, and if you don't have that small group of friends in place who are watching out for you, then the devil will have his way with you. You'll be his playground. You ever hear that expression? An idle mind is the playground of the devil? That's exactly what I'm talking about right now. The worst thing you can do is sit in your room and just think about things. The worst thing you can end up doing for yourself. It's just like swimming in the ocean. We know from very early on, does anyone go swimming by themselves? No, we use the buddy system, right? We have to do the same thing spiritually. We don't just go out there on my own, try to handle things on my own. That's how you end up getting drowned and all that kind of stuff. I was reading a story once about a guy who was deciding to climb a rock. And he was an experienced climber, like a good guy or whatever. And he decided one day, against conventional wisdom, against the buddy system, to go out on his own. Like I said, he was experienced, he was good at what he did, thought he could do it. Problem was, he slipped. And when he slipped, he fell into a ravine. And his arm got caught in something, okay? And he was stuck right there. And he would have ended up dying, okay, because there was no one to help. Obviously, when you're by yourself and your arm's stuck, what are you going to do, okay? You need someone else there that can help you out. But he would have ended up dying there by himself until he finally got out. But do you know how he got out? He cut his arm off. I'm telling you that no matter how professional you may be, that's the way it's going to be if you're flying solo, okay? You may make it through life, but you're going to suffer a lot of damage along the way. You may not make it through life. He may have died. Luckily, he didn't die, but he came out with an arm less. Same thing spiritually. Okay? So everyone needs someone to watch their back. Write this down. Fellowship, therefore, is God's answer to defeat. All right? Fellowship is God's answer to defeat. Now look at Ecclesiastes 4:10. Two are better than one, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. That's just like the ravine thing I just told you right there, right? One will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. This is the value of a small group, okay? That they're there to help you. When you fall, they pick you up. The best thing about a small group is just like I said, here we are, me and these four guys, okay? And like I said, they're there to pick me up when I'm down. But I'm not always going to be down. There's sometimes where I'm up. And the beautiful thing is that the way God works it is that when he's down, the rest of us are up to pick him up. And then next week, he's down, and the rest of us are there to pick him up. And that's the way it works, okay? Don't think I'm telling you to join a group only when you're down. No. In order for someone to pick you up when you're down, you have to be there to pick up people when they're down. What goes around comes around. And you can't expect someone to always be there to help you if you're not there to help them by the same token. And I could bring you right now 50 different people who can share the same thing, that when they joined a small group and their experience in a small group has been exactly that, that when they're down, they get picked up. And again, like I said, what goes around comes around. All right? So I need others to walk with me, to watch out for me, and then third, to wait and weep with me. To wait and weep with me. And this is very pertinent to these days. I need people who will be there when the crises of life come. Because the crisis in life is inevitable. All right? The disaster is inevitable and it's going to come. And what I'm saying is, I need people to be with me when that crisis does come. As a priest, I see the effect of this so often. That there are really just certain situations in life which no one should ever have to go through alone. Ever. Okay? You should never be sitting in the waiting room of a hospital waiting to find out whether it's cancer yes or cancer no alone. You should never. No one should be alone when they're waiting for that. No one should ever be alone when, you know, they're waiting for lab results to come back that could be something for a life-threatening disease. No one should ever be alone right before they go into like a major surgery which could be the end of their life. No one should ever be alone in the emergency room when their best friend, when them were just in a car accident and their best friend is on the inside. You should never be, there's certain situations in life that, like I said, you can't be alone for those situations and no one should be alone. Because we as human beings were not meant to handle those things by ourselves, okay? And it can be really disastrous when those things happen. Now you may be thinking to yourself, okay, those things don't happen to me. It's never happened to me. Never had, you know, a life-threatening illness to anyone I know. Never been in a car accident. you know, this whole Katrina thing, thank God I don't live in New Orleans. I kind of live in anywhere it's hurricane. Okay, that may be true today, but like I was saying upstairs, if you're betting your money that there's never going to be a serious hardship in your life, then you're a fool. Because that's just something that a fool would do. Because hardship will come, and if it hasn't happened today, you better be ready. It's going to happen tomorrow or the next day or the next day after that. It's inevitable. It's inevitable that disaster will come. You think you're going to make it through your whole life without someone close to you dying? You think you're going to make it through your whole life without any illness or someone close to you with illness? That's something only a fool would say. All right. So if you're smart, you would prepare for the crisis from now. Okay? And I was saying upstairs in the sermon, that's when I was talking about, remember at the beginning I said relationship with God, relationship with others. That's the first aspect, the God aspect. But then secondly, don't neglect the other aspect, which is having a support network of friends around you who will be there for you when the hurricane hits. There's thousands and thousands of people in New Orleans who didn't know there was going to be a hurricane. And I hope that every one of them had a support network. Or I hope that they're not just flying solo right now, trying to put the pieces of life back together. How are you going to put your life back together by yourself like that? It's impossible. Okay? We need each other. And I'm telling you that even our Lord promised that in the world you will have tribulations. I'm just doing simple math right now. Okay? Simple math says that of, what's it like, 60 of us in here right now? Of the 60 of us in here, at least someone is going to get in a car accident this year that's life-threatening. At least someone's going to lose a loved one. At least someone is going to have a loved one go down with a terminal illness. This isn't like, I'm not wishing it upon you. I'm saying it's just simple math, okay? It's going to happen. It's inevitable. And if it happens to be you that gets, is that person, are you ready? Do you have a support network around you? Are you going to be, remember the World Trade Center when it came down, how it just, I see people do that all the time. The disaster comes, the word cancer comes, the storm comes, the car accident comes, and their life just falls apart because they didn't have anyone holding them up. I hope that's not you, all right? So what I'm saying is, be smart. Be prepared from now. Do you have that support group around you to help hold you up? Well, God says that that support group, if you don't, if the answer is no, then that support group is here in the body of Christ. Okay? That's what I'm talking about with the small group idea. Look at the next verse, 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you be of one mind. Have compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Talking to the church and saying, this is where the support, the brotherhood should come from. Okay? And again, not saying it comes by attending, not saying it comes by putting your name on a list. It comes when you actively seek it out and you put into it. You only get out what you put in. One time I heard a story of a man who used to attend church for years and years and years. Not this church, a different church. All right? And like I said, he attended for years and years and years. And he didn't know anyone. He never got involved in any activities. He never joined a small group. He never, like, took part in any service. He never did anything. Came, sat, greeted the priest or the pastor of the church, walked out, same thing week after week. He didn't know anyone except the pastor. Well, lo and behold, once upon a time, or one day, this man had a heart attack and he went to the hospital. While he was in the hospital, he got an infection or something or other. He ended up staying in the hospital for a few days. And it just so happened that at that time, the pastor was out of town on vacation or on whatever. So he didn't even know about it. And when he came back, there was a million things waiting for him. He didn't find out about it until like a week and a half later. But he finally found out about it, and he went to go visit the man. By this time, the man was in his home, okay? And the man was very depressed right from the get-go. He said, no one visited me from the church. He said, no one came to see me. No one asked about me. No one did nothing for me. So the pastor, you know, tried to be nice and tried to do this and that. And he said, you know, I was out of town. He's like, well, no one else visited me. And then he got upset. You know, I'm leaving the church. I'm never coming back. And all this kind of story. The pastor was saying, why is it that nobody visited this guy? Whose fault is it? Other people's? The church of 700, it's their fault that no one visited him? Whose fault is it? The pastor that he was out of town? Whose fault? It's the man's fault. 100%. Because he never took 1 minute to invest in anything, in any relationship, in any small group, to get involved, to meet anyone. So of course, when the disaster came, he had no one there for him. You get out whatever it is that you put back into it. Okay? So what you give is what you end up getting. And this man invested nothing in others, invested nothing in relationships, didn't have any value in his life for relationships. And that's why when the disaster came, he had no one to visit him. I'm not here to say whose fault and this fault and my fault and your fault. The bottom line is, a soul was lost this day and a person left, all right? And it's that person's fault, okay? And they're going to live in misery and depressed and, you know, living in the basement or whatever it is that he does and not going out and seeing sunlight. It's their own fault for not getting involved. I hope that that never happens with you. But what I'm telling you, again, if you don't invest in relationships, if you're living on your own, living for yourself, there's nothing going to be there to give back to you when it is that you need it. Okay? So again, it highlights the value of that small group, that people who support each other and are there for each other. And that, the last thing you can write down there, that fellowship is God's answer to despair. Okay? It's God's answer to despair. That's God's plan. Okay? Look at 1 Corinthians 12:26. Says it so beautifully. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That is exactly what the point of a small group is. Okay? That they're there to share the good as well as the bad. That when you just won the lottery, that this group of people will throw you a party and take you out to dinner and this and that. And when you just heard the word, like I said, the disaster comes and the cancer and the illness and that, a group of people to get down on their hands and knees with you and spend some time in prayer. I myself, okay, this past year was part of a small group of guys, and I can honestly say that it was. I'm not going to sit here and tell you we were in heaven every week and this and that, but I look forward to that small group, and there were certain times, and I can remember two specific meetings, and those who were in our group, remember those two, that we felt that day as if the small group was the best thing in the whole wide world. Why? Because it helped us, and it brought us together, and when we were down, it picked us up, okay, and we were there for each other. In the end, every one of us needs other people to walk with us, to watch out for us, and to wait and weep with us. I hope that you realize exactly what it is that I'm talking about and you make that same declaration of interdependence, okay? Because in the end, like I said, I was saying upstairs today, all the other stuff in life can come and go with the next hurricane. It can just float down the river and leave you. But people are what lasts into eternity, okay? Relationships, okay? Anyone got any questions? Yes, Menar.
Kind of unrelated, but is the church planning on doing any kind of organizing anything for the...
Yes, and I'll answer that in one minute, okay? I'll make that announcement. Any other questions? Okay, let's stand for prayer, and then after we pray, we'll sit down because I have some announcements. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank you, our dear Heavenly Father, for this day that you have given to us, and because you haven't left us alone in this world, but that you have provided for us a support network, that you have given to us yourself to be with us in the midst of everything that happens, and then you provided for us your family here in the form of your church to be there for us and to provide for us a way that we can support each other and find that support. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that each one of us who may be struggling with loneliness or despair, defeat, or any of these things would really learn and really find that support network that we need inside your church and inside a small group or whatever it is that may be. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that no one would end up living a life of loneliness and a life of despair, but every one of us would learn how to live in community, lifting each other up and rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. Give a special blessing to our gathering, to our church, to our Father, Winnipeg, to Sonia Irini, to all those who are suffering and all those who are asking us to remember them in our prayers, to our Lord Jesus Christ, through the intercessions and prayers of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, St. Mark, and all of your saints. Hear us, Lord, as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.